Hello, this is Sachin Patel, and today we'll be mapping mindset mastery on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today, I'll be talking with Sachin Patel. Sachin Patel is a father, husband, philanthropist, functional medicine practice success coach, international speaker, and best-selling author. His philosophy is that the doctor of the future is the patient. And he is actively doing whatever it takes to keep people out of the medical system by empowering them through education, self-care, and remapping their mindset. Sachin founded the Living Proof Institute as part of his own personal transformation and now coaches practitioners all over the world on how to step into their power and save their communities. And remapping their mindset is exactly what we're talking about today. I love this conversation where one of the key concepts that I favor in my practice, the concept of resilience, is what we really dive into. Let's get started. Welcome, Sachin. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you, Andrea. It's my pleasure. It's such an honor to connect with you and to share our collective wisdom with everyone that's listening.
Yes, I love this topic that we're about to talk about, which is really mastering our mindset and how that impacts all health outcomes. So I'm wondering if you can just start us out by talking about what does it mean to master your mindset and how do you see work done with the mind influencing health outcomes with your patients?
Certainly. So this is one of my favorite topics, and I hope it comes through in the passion that I exude in this conversation. If I spontaneously combust, then I've asked my wife to get the fire extinguisher ready. So I get really fired up about this. And one thing I want everyone listening to know is that we either master our mindset or our mindset masters us. And unfortunately, many people may not know this, and that is that our subconscious programming happened to us in some cases, or for us in other cases, between the age of 0 and 7. So it's really at that very influential age in our life, and this is from the work of Bruce Lipton, that we're actually highly influenced by our surroundings, by our parents, by our guardians, by the circumstances under which we're raised. And this essentially creates an establishment of our understanding of the world we live in. And a simple example I can give you, if you've ever sworn up and down that you'd never become like your parents, and you're finding out in your 30s and 40s that you are exactly like your parents, it's because your parents raised you. And it's because your parents are driving, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on the patient, that subconscious mind. And so you've got, you know, kind of in the cartoons and TV shows, they show a person sitting on an individual's shoulders. Well, whoever raised you is sitting on your shoulders constantly, and they're making you feel good about the decisions you make, or guilty about the decisions you make, or questions the decisions that you make. So ultimately, when as an adult, you know what's right and you know what's wrong, you still may not feel like you made the right decision because you have this constant dialogue that's playing, you know, in your mind. And so our subconscious mind is what significantly influences how we respond to situations and how we react to situations. And one thing that I want to really drive home in this conversation, I know our time is limited, but I think we can really drive this one point home, and that is that our physiology responds to the response that we have to a situation before we can consciously respond. And what I mean by this is all input comes into a part of our brain called the amygdala, and the information is processed based on our past experiences, core values, subconscious programming to create a physiological response. So as a child, if you were, you know, deathly afraid of something or made to be afraid of something, like strangers, for example, anytime you would encounter that scenario, regardless of knowing as an adult that this is not a dangerous situation, your body has already created a response based on the programming that you've received, which means that you're essentially creating a sympathetic or fight or flight response before you can even understand as a conscious person that this is not actually something that's threatening. So a lot of times what ends up happening is people will have this constant sympathetic response that's going on as a result of this bad programming, this mindset that's controlling them. And then they need things like yoga and meditation and mindfulness and all these other things to help them, you know, de-stress or deflame, or, you know, to put out these, you know, these mental fires, if you will. So when we work with patients, what we try to do is we try to work on the mind first, because as you probably know, and many of the listeners probably know this, but some people don't, and that is that the mind is the greatest discovery of our lifetime. So the power of the human mind will be the greatest discovery in our lifetime. We still don't give it as much credit as we should, but it's the most powerful instrument in the entire cosmos.
You're saying so many things that have so much impact, Sachin, on, you know, our resilience, really going back to how do we develop resilience. And I'm thinking about what you're talking about with age 0 to 7 and nature versus nurture. So I'm just going to give us a little context for you to talk into that a tiny bit more. When I use the Functional Nutrition Matrix, I think of it in terms of what I call the story, the soup, and the skill. This was language that I adopted from my friend, the functional neurologist, Dr. David Hazy. And the story is some of what you're talking about. It's like the arc of the patient's journey to where they are now. So when you're speaking about that age 0 to 7 and that part of the story that comes with us, so to speak, that is implanted in us from before birth, how does that really impact our mindset from the get-go? How is that influencing how we approach anything that might impact our resilience physiologically or psychologically?
Sure, absolutely. So the way we see this, and you might see this as well, show up in our practice is people not thinking that they're worth the investment of getting healthy. And so it's never about the money. It's always about the values, right? That person probably drove into your office in a car. They probably have a nice home that they live in, right? Their furniture for sure costs more than getting healthy, right? So it's really a value system, because as adults, depending on the circumstances your parents grew up in, so my parents were immigrants, and, you know, I was born here I was born in Toronto, and we grew up in true scarcity, right? Like, they lived essentially for the majority of my upbringing between the age of 0 and 7, certainly not paycheck to paycheck, but they certainly weren't like killing it. You know what I mean? So they had true scarcity. And so that set the stage for my money mindset, my value system. And so that shows up in your adult life. So when it comes time to spend money, right, you might, you know, where it shows up in my life is I still do this. I still have a habit of doing this, and I'm trying to break this myself. It's hard to, though. I still go to the clearance rack. When I want to buy something in a store, I go to the clearance rack first, because that's the conditioning I had. It was, we always had to buy things on sale. We had to buy them when they were at the cheapest price possible, right? And so, you know, these are these certain values that are instilled in us. And that's just a really simple example. But for some people, it can create irrational fears. One of the ways we see this showing up in people's life, and people are not going to like when I say this, but I see this often, so it's coming from experience, is that sometimes the only time as a child we got attention was when we were sick. Mm-hmm. And in our current society, people are so disconnected, even from their spouses, even from the person sitting across the table from them. And as a child, the only time they got extraordinary amounts of love, affection, and attention was when they were sick. So what does the inner child say, that 0 to 7 inner child that they still have sitting on their shoulders? It says, well, hey, if you get sick, you're going to get way more attention from people. So sometimes illness is driven by this need for attention, which is a void in our lives because we're more connected and more disconnected than ever before.
One of the other things that I see that we're often talking into in practice is what I call the risk reward, because we definitely are asking people to make compromises, right? They might have to give up a certain food or go to bed earlier than their spouse does, or these things that fall into what we call risk reward or cost benefit. And what you're making me think of is something else that I know you and I love to talk about, which is personality profiling, and how we might have to realize as practitioners that our patients might have a different sense of what's risk and reward based on a mindset that they've been, you know, quote unquote, programmed with. The risk of giving up certain foods, especially if they're culturally, have some cultural significance, or if there has been a scarcity mindset, that might impact their ability to see the reward of feeling better in light of giving something up. Do you see that at play too in a mindset conversation?
Oh, absolutely. Like, some people will not buy healthy food because they don't want to throw it out at the end of the week if it goes bad. Right. And it's because, you know, they probably grew up in a household where that was extremely frowned upon. And of course it should be, but they would beat themselves up to the point where, as an adult, the way that expresses itself is they don't buy healthy food. They buy only non-perishable food items. So stuff that's in boxes and cans. Because of that, they don't like throwing food out. So, and here's the thing, like, a lot of people will not connect the dots on this. Like, they're not going to be like, well, it's connected to my childhood, because most people think that that's a thing of the past. But that operating system, if it's never upgraded or updated, it's still controlling the show.
And right? we might also have things that we do in our lives in terms of our relationships that actually enforce those triggers that we had from our childhood. Let's say what we're worth or where we spend our money. We might get into relationships that actually affirm the things that we learned in our childhood. Is that something else that you see, that somebody might be in an adult relationship that also functions as a trigger that has deeper roots into their childhood mindset?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. So this has been really interesting, you know, to see clinically in the practice, because once you start looking at people through this lens, you immediately know that their problem isn't their mitochondria, right? You immediately know that their adrenals are not the problem. It's the operating system that's the problem. And we just have to look at the nomenclature, right? So a lab result is a lab result. What is it a result of? If we don't change what's creating the outcome, and we just try to, you know, give people an umbrella while it's, you know, a thunderstorm going on in their life, we're not actually fixing the problem. We're just providing temporary relief. So I would think of a supplement or an herb or a product like an umbrella, and I would think of the mindset like a cloud or clear skies. So when we change that, then the idea here isn't to just give people a bigger and better umbrella. The idea here is, how do we stop it raining in your life? And, you know, you can tell from a couple that comes in how stressed out somebody gets over the same thing. So two people might have completely different responses to the exact same scenario. Everything that happens in our life is neutral, right? So everything that happens around us is neutral. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. Well, they weren't cutting you off, right? They would have cut anyone off that was there. But the fact that we take this personally is a function of our upbringing, is a function of our core values. It's a function of our belief systems. Whether we play victim in life or whether we play victor is going to be a function of our upbringing. We find that, you know, really working on this going upstream, you know, addressing the mindset is the most challenging thing, but it's also the most upstream thing for us to fix, right? So it's the peak of the mountain, if you will, right? So if we're going to go to the top of this stream and really address this problem from where it starts, then it's the mindset. And it's the hardest summit to climb, but, you know, I think you would agree that it's worth every single step and every single triumph that you go through to get there.
Absolutely. So I'm going to shift us over for a minute to what I consider the skill area of the functional nutrition matrix, where it's what we do. So we're talking about the fact that we have to shift or master the mindset. What are your favorite techniques that you employ in practice to help with mindset mastery?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's important to just recognize that this is showing up in somebody's life so that they're then willing to do the work. You know, and I recommend that people work with a professional on this, either a coach. We have somebody on our staff. Her name is Jillian, and she's a hypnotherapist. She also does, she has a course that she runs called Mindset Mastery. She does NLP therapy, and she also does something like timeline regression. And so with timeline regression, you basically go back to that moment in time when that subconscious programming took place. So I'll give you an example. One of my friends was in school, and he was wearing an extra large shirt, but he was really skinny at the time. And he still remembers this to the day, that somebody said to him, why is an extra small guy wearing an extra large shirt? So then what that told his subconscious was to gain weight. And he's been overweight ever since. And when we started doing the timeline regression with him, we realized that that event completely changed his belief systems and values. And he felt that he had to gain that weight to fill in that shirt. And so sometimes an event like that, when you're bullied or something, you know, something that's not even catastrophic, but the way that memory and that perception of the memory is ingrained completely changes the trajectory of our life.
It's really interesting to think about how, when somebody has a medical condition, the medical institution as it exists might also create some of those patternings for us. I know with my husband, he had the moment that he recognized as a post-traumatic moment for himself, where they did a CAT scan when they were still trying to figure out what was going on with his brain, and they put the port in his arm, and after doing the CAT scan, he said to them, "Are you going to take that out now?" And they said, "No, we're going to leave it in." And in that moment, he knew he was essentially a property of the hospital, that he was theirs, that his life was no longer his own. And I don't know if everybody here knows, my husband died of a brain tumor in 2002. But for him, that was a very significant moment. And he did work around that. But you have to wonder, those moments like you're calling out can influence our health outcomes, because they get ingrained. They tell us a story about our lives.
You know, thank you for sharing that. I know it's been a while, but it's probably not easy to go back there. So thank you. You know, here's one thing I posted on Facebook probably like 3 years ago now, and I said that the mind is so powerful that a misdiagnosis should be considered malpractice. Because our mind can create whatever reality we want.
Wow. Yeah, I know we don't have time to go into the biological systems. We've touched on a lot of it in terms of how the mind can influence so many functions in the body. I think there's a lot, there's plenty of information about the gut-brain connection, where we think of that gastrointestinal piece. And I'd like to challenge everybody to pull up a functional nutrition matrix and think about the ways in which the mind can influence the health of these other areas of the body, and just really start to play with that and think about mindset in your practice when you're working with a patient, especially a patient who just isn't getting better, which is a lot of who we're seeing these days. Any other pearls that you can share with us, Sachin, about mastering mindset in relation to a functional practice?
Well, I think that it's probably the first medicine. So just think of mindset as medicine, because our response to a situation basically controls our entire physiology. So when somebody reacts to a scenario in a negative way or in a stressful way, their entire biochemistry and physiology changes. The function of every cell in their body now becomes catabolic instead of anabolic. And so it spills into every single thing that we do. And just really quickly going to that gut-brain connection, we separate anatomy for convenience to study it, but the brain is woven into every fragment of our body. Surrounding every single cell is a nerve cell, which connects back to the brain, is a lymphatic vessel, and a blood vessel. So all three of those things surround every single cell in our body. So the mind is woven into every single part of us, and the gut has more nerve endings than the brain. So, you know, that's a little quick tidbit for people.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you so much for joining us on the 15-Minute Matrix, Sachin.
My pleasure.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at www.15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to get my therapeutic diet matrix and be notified each time there's a new podcast episode, please go to www.15minutematrix.com/diets. That's www.15minutematrix.com/diets. And email us. We want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can always email us at ask@15minutematrix.com. And hey, don't go away. If you're familiar with the Practitioner Training Division of the Functional Nutrition Alliance, I want you to know that we are rebranding. What you may have known as Holistic Nutrition Lab is now becoming the Functional Nutrition Lab. Stay tuned for more details on why we're rebranding and what it means for you.
Well, that was so much fun. 15 minutes is tough.